Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yes, and welcome back. You weren't with us the last couple weeks, so it's good to have you back. And
oh, man. Yeah, it has been a long time.
Ready to contribute what was absolutely necessary and missing.
So good to have you back.
Well, a couple things right off the bat. Again, we continue to watch what's going on in St. Cloud. The job posting says closed, as reported previously, but we haven't seen the activity yet that indicates that abortions are taking place out of St. Cloud. Couple things could be happening. One would be the best. That is, they decided not to go forward with this. But the suspicion we have is that they're still finishing up interviewing processes and maybe even getting into the training process, which they might be doing in St. Paul or here in the Twin Cities instead of, you know, one of the locations similar to what they're going to do in St. Cloud. So we keep a close eye on it, and lots of stuff still happening to try and warn the community, especially in central Minnesota. So all that continues. And I thought today that as we're coming up on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, it'd be good to just talk about that preamble to the Declaration a little bit. And of course, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." A powerful first line in that declaration. And there's a couple things. Of course, life pops out for all of us, right? Those of us who are pro-life, that statement of life being right there is the first of those unalienable rights that are listed. And of course, without life, there are no other rights at all. So this is the most fundamental of all. They talk about liberty, which is about our ability to think for ourselves and to decide for ourselves, our lives, and so forth. And then there's this pursuit of happiness. And in our modern era, we get confused as to what that means compared to what was being written in the late 1700s. And so this concept of what is stated there, pursuit of happiness, is not just simply trying to go out and have fun and be happy and do whatever we please. That is not what pursuit of happiness is. So I went and I looked at the founding fathers. I was looking at what the climate was of the era when it came to understanding the meaning of the word happiness and this idea of pursuit of happiness. And it ties in a lot for us as well, because it's about property rights, but it goes way beyond that. It's about freedom of religion. It's about pursuing the moral good. That was the thing that came up the most in among the founding fathers of our country. So, of course, that's what we're trying to do when we're trying to defend the unborn and we're trying to defend life, which we are supposed to already know self-evidently should be cared for. And of course, we're trying to return that moral good as we try and restore these basic realities that our declaration called for. So it's a good time. Yeah.
Well, and when I listen to that, it's like liberty and the pursuit of happiness. You're right. We kind of, as pro-lifers, I don't want to say we overlook them, but you know, we're fixated on this life component, but the other thing is that liberty and happiness, these are things that are uniquely human. These are distinctively, they have to do with the will and the intellect. And that's part of what makes this statement so profound, because the founders, those writing the Declaration of Independence, you know, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, all these individuals, James Madison, I mean, this it's just interesting to see these young men, because they were, many of them were very young, some of them even as young as 26 years old, writing the Declaration of Independence. And it's shocking to me, because I don't think 26 year olds these days have such a great grasp on what this truly means. You know, most adults don't anymore. We've lost that sense of the sacred, and recognizing that we as human beings are truly created in the image and likeness of God. And with that comes like tremendous freedom in a real sense of being able to choose good and bad, but also tremendous responsibility. And the responsibility being primary to protect the vulnerable.
Absolutely. And of course, then there's the pledge at the very end, where they pledge their lives, their sacred honor, and their fortunes in this pursuit of the self-evident truths in breaking away from a nation that was suppressing the colonies. So again, you're right. These young men, mostly young men, were making a very powerful commitment. And, you know, late 18th century, mid to late 18th century, colonists are going to be students of philosophy. They're going to be students of classical philosophy. They're going to be students of classical literature. And they're going to be students of classical understanding of morality and biblical truths. So these are all coming through in what's being written here too. What a good thing to be celebrating. And we're not celebrating the Constitution yet. That's not till 250th anniversary is going to be in 2038, I believe, of the Constitution. So this is the Declaration we're remembering on this semi-quincentennial. There we go. Semi-quincentennial celebration that we're having. So celebrate life. That's what we want to do. And keeping that in mind, we got another baby saved. And this is at the Uptown Minneapolis Planned Parenthood. Multiple sidewalk counselors involved in this effort. But in the end, just a very good and powerful moment of somebody changing their mind and deciding yes for their unborn babies. We're always excited to see that. Always. So, well, in the news this past week, a trial started in California.
This is a big one. Yeah.
June 24th was the beginning of this trial. This is where the state of California has decided to sue Heartbeat International Heartbeat International and Real Options Pregnancy Center. So these are, Heartbeat International is amazing pregnancy resource organization. Just absolutely
incredible.
Yep. And they're the ones that have put together the Abortion Pill Rescue Network and the Abortion Pill Reversal System that's used all across the country. I think the last number I saw was approaching
over 8,000. No,
is it over 8? No, okay.
Over. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, with that in mind, the state of California is suing them for consumer fraud because they contest that the abortion pill reversal is
not evidence-based
and good. Well, and of course they're picking up on the pro-abortion horrible stuff that's been put out there and claims to be studies saying that it's bad, it's not good, and that therefore
it's silly because it's a very similar protocol to what's used for women who are trying to fend off miscarriage. I mean, doctors will use a very similar protocol to for women who are in the process of miscarrying in an attempt to prevent her from losing her baby. I mean, it's so dishonest.
Right. And so, you know, the abortion pill reversal has been peer reviewed in studies. There's basic science and so forth involved. There are obstetric professionals. There's more than 10,000 members of APLOG, which is the pro-life obstetrics and gynecologists organization. And so this is so well vetted. And again, no one's been harmed.
No,
not a single woman has been harmed when undergoing the abortion pill reversal process. Now, not everyone has been successful, and some babies have still died because of the you know, little late getting there to get the reversal protocol started and things like that. But like you said, Angela, 8,000 babies saved by doing this. And of course, this radical pro-abortion political machine in California despises pregnancy help centers to begin with.
Yeah.
They you know, they've already lost federal lawsuits in trying to suppress pregnancy help centers. So now they're doing this in California state court, trying to get them under these laws that they're doing it under, the consumer laws and so forth.
Well, and this is important for Minnesotans in particular. I mean, that we sent out an email. I've only announced it once here, but I'm the executive director now of the Pregnancy Center Coalition in Minnesota. And I sent out an email yesterday to our members and other pregnancy centers in the state about this, because the reality is that Keith Ellison here, the attorney general, just a few years ago put out a consumer alert against pregnancy centers as well. It's a similar, they're trying to delegitimize pregnancy centers across the nation. They're trying to find new ways to do that. And this is a part of that effort to try and undermine the credibility of our pregnancy centers and try and ingrain in the public mind that pregnancy centers are somehow dangerous. And of course, we know that couldn't be further from the truth. We don't have women leaving pregnancy centers on stretchers, needing ambulances. They're not doing invasive procedures, that kind of a thing. You know, they're working with nurses and licensed medical staff, medical directors, OBGYNs, all of that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying every single pregnancy center is doing this, but to assert that what the pregnancy centers are doing is somehow dangerous for women with zero evidence, like you've said, there's nothing. But the thing is that this case, this decision is going to be a landmark decision for pregnancy centers across the country. It's going to lay the groundwork for what they can and cannot do, including letting clients know about abortion pill reversal if they are regretting having taken the first of the abortion pill regimen. But also, what about the women who are who discover that their abusive boyfriend has slipped the abortion pill without their consent or knowledge? You know, what about those women who did not consent to the abortion to begin with? I mean, it's very dangerous. This is a very dangerous game that they are playing when the party of choice is reducing the ability for women to actually make a choice, to make a decision that serves her and her child. It's frightening, really.
Well, yeah. And so the biggest piece in this that I didn't share yet is how much they're going at, how much money that they're seeking to get in penalties from the nonprofits. It's $20 million. That would shut them down.
Oh, absolutely. Really,
and it's not shut them down from talking about abortion pill reversal at this point. Now we're talking about shutting them down entirely, which is what their real goal is. That's what this is all about. So the trial's now going. We will continue to give you updates as we hear them and see them and so forth. And hopefully we're going to see these pregnancy centers and sanity prevail instead of this insanity that the pro-abortion politicians are all about. So, well, in other news, the Health and Human Services Department has got a piece out there that is being told to us by Daily Signal. They said they found documents that they've obtained that are showing that HHS is going to terminate $67 million of teen pregnancy prevention grants because of being sexually explicit curricula. So they're basically, the HHS is returning or restoring the law that allows these grants to be there to what they originally were intended to be. Under the Biden administration, they expanded it to all this evil stuff. And so now the Trump administration is bringing it back to medically accurate, age appropriate, and without being sexually explicit anymore. So this is going to be very good to have that money withdrawn from those programs. And yeah, then
they should be.
Charlotte Lazur, our favorite institute of data, has put out there some information talking about the lives that have been saved since the Dobbs decision. We're just past the fourth anniversary of this Dobbs decision from June of 2022, and there are several studies that have come out, and the latest studies, one done in 2024, another one in 2025, and another one done in 2026. So we've got three studies here, three different areas and so forth. And what they've done in each of these, well, two of them, they looked at 13 states that have basically banned almost all abortions and then compared them to 25 states where abortion has remained wide open. They included Washington D.C. as one of their as part of it. So you got 13 where abortion bans exist, 25 where they don't, where it's just wide open. And in the 2024 study, the birth rate, and this is what they're doing, they're comparing birth rates over time. So they're looking at, in the first one, they're talking about from January to June of 2019 to 2023. And they showed that there are 32,000 additional births in the first 6 months of 2023. That's the time frame where there would have been an effect because of the Dobbs decision. In the 2026 Springer study, they're looking at 2017 to 2023. And in their process, they're finding that there are 14,519 additional births in 2023. And then there's a Bell study, which was done in 2025, and they reviewed all 50 states. And they're showing that between 2012 and 2023, 22,000 more births in the states with abortion bans and heartbeat acts in that first year. So, again, you know, we keep being told that there are more abortions, but the people that are telling us there are more abortions are abortion organizations. None of these studies are pro-life studies. Some of these studies were actually in the Journal of American Medicine. These are reviewed studies that are out there in the public. And so the birth rates have increased in states where abortion has been banned or almost completely banned. That's very good. So we know from just looking at this, you can know very quickly that as abortion is outlawed in more and more states, there's going to be more and more births, there's going to be more and more lives, and there's going to be fewer and fewer abortions. I think that's a pretty straight up look at how that's working. I believe.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, this is where the legislation piece is extremely important in shaping culture. I mean, this is why it's important that the pro-life movement is addressing abortion on both like the intellectual and trying to change hearts and minds through conversation, but also the legislative component. I think sometimes there are people who think, well, you know, politics is downstream of culture, but it's more synergistic and dynamic than that. In my opinion, I think politics can help shape culture tremendously.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So a new poll was done, and this was commissioned by Americans United for Life, which is a pro-life, national pro-life organization, one of the oldest in the nation. But they had the polling done by YouGov, which is just a straight up polling organization. So the poll is not skewed because it's a pro-life organization asking for the poll. It's being, you know, they have to hire somebody that does this statistically correctly. They polled 1,000 Americans, and they showed that nearly 70% believe that patient safety, the woman, not the baby, the safety of the woman should be prioritized over the ease of access for abortion drugs. that's a powerful statement right there, because of course we've got the Louisiana lawsuit that's in the works still. We've got a lot of efforts being made to try and roll back these terrible laws that allow for mail order abortions and all this other stuff, the internet abortions, and return it to safety protocols for the woman. So that's a powerful pull there. And then on the fourth anniversary of the Dobbs decision, a bunch of pro-life legislatures in the U.S. Senate asked for a unanimous consent to pass five pro-life bills. So they want conscience protections for medical professionals, so they aren't forced to be involved or aid in abortion in any way. They want Title X money removed from anybody that provides abortions. They want more help for women, for moms, late in the pregnancy, or I should say during the pregnancy and early in after childbirth, but more support about there. They also want more support for those who are expecting, and then they want to prohibit forced abortion with stronger accountabilities. We'll see how that shapes out, but some very good things being pushed forward at the federal level at this point in time. The United States Supreme Court declined to take up a case of an Indiana high school student who wanted to post pro-life flyers in her public school's hallways. Unfortunately, they didn't take the case, but we also have to not necessarily read anything into that other than the U.S. Supreme Court hears a ton of cases every year, and they don't act on thousands of other cases that come to them every year as well. So that might be the point here. But there was one Supreme Court justice who, Justice Alito, argued that they should have taken the case and clean up something there in the process with free speech realities. So, and then Illinois, a diocese in Illinois, is now, along with the pregnancy center, has filed an appeal over state law on hiring practices. This is the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, Pregnancy Care Center of Rockford. These two organizations have filed this appeal. This is a lawsuit that's been ongoing. And what it is the state law is requiring them to hire people who are counter to what the belief systems are of both the diocese and the Pregnancy Help Center. So we're hoping that they'll win that one as well. So, and then recently in congressional testimony, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that the United Nations has lost its purpose and lost its mission. There's a strong, clear statement. He appeared on behalf of... It appeared on behalf of Trump.
I'm sure they loved that.
this is in front of
we just keep making friends over there.
They're family planning, and his focus was on the money being spent by this United Nations pushing the family planning and abortion advocacy around the world, and so, you know, instead of protecting nations, especially emerging nations, this idea of pushing and claiming, you know, the efforts to try and claim that abortion is a right, a human right at the UN, has been ongoing and outrageous. Yeah. This idea that aid going to these nations that are emerging nations, especially where poverty is an issue, where feeding is an issue, where clean water, basic medical needs, those are the real issues in these nations. They tie all this money to abortion and birth control. And of course, the largest contributor financially to the United Nations is the United States. And so we end up as taxpayers funding these things. And so that's part of what he was calling out when he called out that stuff going on at the UN. In the state of Arkansas, they have just given final approval for a design for a pro-life monument to the unborn to be built at the state capitol. Isn't that wonderful?
Beautiful. Wouldn't that be so nice to have here?
We can dream. And of course we can work toward that dream. But yes, wouldn't that be wonderful? The 2023 Arkansas legislature passed the law requiring a monument be built in honor of the more than 230,000 babies killed by abortion in the state from 1973 to 2022. So they created a trust fund in this process, the state did. And so they're looking at construction will begin as soon as all the funding has been raised. Isn't that nice?
Beautiful. Now,
so, and I'm sure there are pro-abortion people that are screaming,
foaming at the mouth
every which way, yes, about that. So, Louisiana has basically outlawed almost all abortions, and yet Planned Parenthood is planning to reopen their facility in New Orleans this fall. And so this will be the first, or I think it was the first facility to be open since the last one closed last September is what we're reading in the story. But I'm not sure that they think that they're going to start killing babies there, but it looks like they have this intention. I'm not sure how they're going to do it with the Louisiana laws as they are. Again, another one we're going to watch very closely. So there could be some serious legal violations by Planned Parenthood. Not the first time we've heard that story either. So they just seem to get away with it so much. That's the real issue when it comes to that. In Missouri, a Missouri state judge has sided with the abortion industry and has ruled in a ruling has overturned nearly all of the state's protections for the unborn. This ruling will allow for the distribution of the abortion pill for the first time since 2018 in the state of Missouri. So now, of course, this all comes on the heels of this state constitutional amendment that was passed in 2024 in the state of Missouri by like the narrowest of margins. And part of it had to do with the deceptive language of the referenda that went before the people. Pro-life people voted for this referenda not knowing that it was what it was they were voting for, basically, because of how it was written. And that's how a lot of these referendums get passed around the country, is they add stuff in there that you look at it and you say, well, I agree with that, so I'm going to say yes to it. There is an effort right now to put to repeal that constitutional amendment this fall. So hopefully the state of Missouri will have a great vote on that and we'll see them return to the ranks of being pro-life.
Amen. Yeah, because it is a very conservative area. I mean,
some of the most pro-life generally. Stuff.
Yes. Yeah,
some of the most pro-life stuff has come out of Missouri.
The governor is Republican. Yeah. I'm not saying that means inherently pro-life, but I mean, you know what I mean? Governor, the House, everything. Yeah, it's been interesting.
And mentioning governor, we have our August, early August is going to be the voting for who's going to end up running for governor in the state of Minnesota, as well as U.S. Senate and congressional races and all sorts of things. Find out who's who and vote pro-life. And as we get to the July 4th, celebrate this semi-quincentennial of the Declaration of Independence. God bless you.